Good morning. We're going to be in the book of Psalms and chapter 78 this morning. I'm going to read one verse. Look at Psalms chapter 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for all these that showed up today. Lord, we're thankful for the visitors that we've got today that are here. Lord, I pray that your will would be done here this morning. Lord, that you would be with me, that I would communicate your word effectively and clearly. Lord, that you'd have a message for every single person in this room here today. Lord, we ask your blessings. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you and your blessings, Lord, we are completely helpless. We pray also for those that are tuning in via the internet and YouTube, Lord, that you would also give them a blessing and strengthen them in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kind of an interesting verse. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. First of all, I want to introduce the verse just in the historical context. It's making reference to one of the tribes of Israel, of which there were 10. And this particular tribe, the tribe of Ephraim, when they were marching through the wilderness, was in charge of the area around the ark. Very, very prestigious position, a very responsible position. They were one of the tribes that ensured the ark's safety. And if you don't know anything about the ark, well, that's fine. We're not going to go into a great deal of detail. Your curiosity ought to take you to the Old Testament to read for yourself and understand some of these things. But basically, they were going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And so this particular tribe was a very responsible position, a very, very dangerous position, and a position that required a lot of military skill. And that's where they got their idea of being armed and carrying bows. And so we're dealing with a tribe that knew how to fight. They knew what it was like to be in battle. We could go through different positions, and I'm not really sure exactly what actual historical reference this verse is referring to. Some people have different ideas about what it was like, but excuse me. Here was a tribe that had military experience, and they had training. They were trained to use a bow. They were found in a battle, and the verse says that they turned back. Now, I want you to look at a couple of verses after this verse, and I want you to see some things. Do my best to make my point here. Verse 10 says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So already we can see that this particular reference is not a positive reference. This is not an organized retreat for resupply or anything like that. This is actually a very negative thing. It says, they kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. And then it begins to rehearse and talk about all the amazing things that God did. And then flip back to verse 22. And verse 21 says that the anger of God was kindled upon him. Verse 22, because they believed not in God nor trusted in his salvation. I want you to try to create the scenario in your mind right here about this particular tribe. This particular tribe, it was said, turn back in the day of battle. Now, if you're a soldier, you're trained for one thing. You're trained for battle. Whatever that particular position is, some are in the armored, some are artillery, some are infantry, where they're on the front lines, some are resupply, some are transportation, some are cooks, some are medics. I mean, you have this whole host that's trained for one thing, and that's to go into battle and to fight and to win. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that Israel had many, many battles in their national history. They had many wars. And to go into a war and not be willing to fight and to win is it's just unthinkable. Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, the verse says, turned back in the day of battle. Now, I want you to know this is not complimentary. And if you think that this is just a historical reference, I want to take this historical reference and I want to apply it spiritually. I want to talk first of all to Christians. I don't think that there's ever been a time in my experience, and I've been saved since 1982, is when I called on the Lord. I don't think there's ever been a time in my experience where more Christians have decided to get out of the battle. More Christians have been disheartened or discouraged or for whatever purpose and decided that they're just not going to fight. You know what impresses me and you know what encourages me is the fact that there are people in these chairs here today. There are some churches that because of COVID, because of the political situation, because of other things, have closed their doors and they've just faded away. It's encouraging to see people here today. And so maybe I'm not preaching to you. Maybe you haven't lost heart. Maybe you haven't gotten out of the battle. But then maybe again you have. And maybe this message is for you. I don't know. There's some possible reasons why, and this is what we're referring to. In the New Testament, you have a lot of scriptural references to fighting the good fight of faith, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be always abounding. We have verses like this in the New Testament that describes faith. I don't know if you realized it or not, but faith is not an easy deal. Danny was talking about the church in Smyrna. Man, I am so thankful. I look at the church of Smyrna and I am almost thankful that I'm the church of Laodicea, you know. And like Smyrna, they have their gift and they have their, but I'm telling you, the fight of faith, it's not an easy deal. Have any of you ever experienced that? Have you come to the conclusion yet that living for God is not easy? And that there are a lot of battles to face when you're fighting as a Christian. Number one, I want to tell you, I want to be very clear about this so that we don't get the imagery wrong here. Our fight is not with other people. I'm going to be clear about this because there are some people out there right now that have this idea in their mind that the church ought to pick up armed resistance against whatever it is that's oppressing them. I'm telling you, God never intended the church to be a physical army on earth. And so for some of these groups out there that in God's name are fomenting violence, there are some people that in the name of God and in the name of faith have murdered doctors that are committing abortions, thinking that they're doing God a service. I want to be very clear. God never approves of that kind of violence. You're never going to further the kingdom of God by violence. You're not going to further the church by violence. So when we're talking about fighting, that's not the kind of fighting that we're talking about. Jesus told Peter, he said, put up your sword. Peter thought that he was going to defend. It's laughable when you think about it. You're going to defend the Lord of the universe, who has all power over death and hell and the grave, and you're going to defend him with a sword. He said, Peter, put it up. So hopefully I make that point clear, that through violence we can never extend. We're not talking about a physical fight when we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. We're talking about something that's spiritual. The book of Ephesians in chapter 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's referring to this unseen spiritual wickedness that we fight against. And your fight, your battle is on many different levels. It's on a lot of different levels. I think the main one that I fight, I don't think I fight so much against the devil as I fight against my own flesh. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I forgot what the Bible says. That was a good verse that I forgot too. That was a really good verse. It says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know what I find out after I got saved? My fight had just begun. Man, all of a sudden, things came at me left and right. What do you mean I can't do that? Oh, I gotta get this. Man, I'm telling you, my spirit within me started listing off things. Man, I gotta get this right. Man, I've gotta do this. I've gotta take care of this. And let me tell you, my first couple of months as a Christian was pretty rocky. Hopefully you never noticed, but there was a time or two I came into church hungover. After I was saved. Because I had battles that I was fighting. And I'm telling you, these battles, you gotta fight them. You gotta fight them. There's things that are coming against you. There are things that are consuming you. You can't just give up. And that's what the verse is talking about. Here was a tribe, Ephraim, that turned back in the day of battle. And I'm telling you, it's not God's intention that you turn back in the day of battle. Well, you're going to have some battles. We all do every day. And I'm talking about new Christians, and I'm talking about mature Christians. Those that have been in the fight for years and years, they're still in the battle today. And part of the battle is the flesh. It's one of the battles we face. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, but I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you realize that there is a conflict and a battle between your natural flesh and the things of God? Your natural flesh wants to get angry. Wants to reach out for vengeance. Your natural flesh is filled with all kinds of lusts and imaginations and desires, and the Spirit of God and the flesh are at war with each other. You got to battle every single morning. How a Christian can go day after day without immersing himself in the Word, without getting on his knees and praying and asking God's help. It's no wonder some of you have lost multiple times in your battle with the flesh. Because you didn't see the other part of that verse here. Here's Ephraim. How does it describe this tribe right here? It describes it in two ways. It said they were armed and carrying bows. So it tells me one thing. They didn't turn back in battle because they were untrained. No, these were warriors. These guys knew how to use a bow. They were trained. They spent countless hours on the range learning everything about that bow. I don't know what it's like in the Israeli army, but if it's like the same thing as the army that I was in, then you slept with your weapon. You kept your weapon with you at all times. You took your weapon to the bathroom with you. You had your weapon with you at all times. Maybe they did the same thing so that they learned every aspect of it. They didn't turn back because they were untrained. And a lot of Christians, it's the same way. You're not turning back in battle. You haven't disengaged because you're not trained. Man, there are a lot of Christians that know what the Word of God says. You're trained in the spiritual things. Many times it's a mature Christian that ends up falling and turning back in a battle and turning back in a conflict, whether it's some sort of spiritual conflict or whether it's your own flesh. But that wasn't the case with them. They were armed and they were trained. And it wasn't that they were fearful, that they had never seen combat before. These guys had seen multiple battles. So that wasn't the reason. It wasn't because of fear immobilized them. These guys were basically fearless, man. They just, you look at some of these tribes, and I'm telling you, it wasn't See, the battle with the words, that's the thing. I could only, in heaven, man, I'm not going to miss a beat, man. There's never going to be a thought that just kind of flits away like that. But it wasn't one of these push-button technology things like today. It wasn't like a drone pilot that's over there in Utah flying a drone over there in Afghanistan. It's not like this at all, man. Everything they did back then was hand-to-hand combat. So these guys were very experienced fighters. And when it said that they turned back in battle, it wasn't because of the training. It wasn't because of these things. There's some reasons why you and I might turn back and give up on this fight of faith. And maybe turn back. Matthew chapter 13 has a clue. Matthew chapter 13 says there in verse 20, it says, "But he that receives seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended." So there is a reason why you might want to turn back and disengage. For some Christians, and this partially is preachers' faults for misrepresenting the claims of the gospel. There are some preachers out there, I won't name any names, but there are some out there who characterize the gospel as a cure-all to all of your ills. I mean, they'll preach the gospel and say, if you'll only come to Christ, then he's going to bless everything that you've got. You are going to have money. You're going to have health. You're going to have prosperity. You're going to have these things if you just come to Christ. And so people are looking at that, and man, they're in debt. They're sick. Their relationship with their husband or their wife or their kids is in shambles. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they're sitting in a prison cell. Maybe they've made just a mess of their life. And so they think, man, all I got to do is come to Christ and all these things are going to change. And so they do, and they receive Jesus Christ. And then they find out that their body's still in a prison cell. Their relationships are still in shambles. Their health hasn't improved one bit. That's a misrepresentation of the gospel. And it will discourage people where they'll begin to fight the good fight of faith. And then realize when persecution and trouble come, when those things that Smyrna was talking about come into your life, they're going to be offended. And they're going to say, man, and I've talked to people like that. They say, man, why don't you just give your life to Jesus Christ? Yeah, man, I tried Jesus. It didn't work out for me. What are you talking about? It didn't work out for you. His promises are true. His promises are faithful. He said he'll forgive your sins. It's as good as done. What are you? Yeah, yeah, man, but I put my trust in Christ and then this happened and this happened. I'm telling you, that's a mistake. You got to be ready for some battles when you come to Jesus Christ. You got to realize that that spirit that dwells in you is going to be at odds with your own natural person. It's going to be at odds with society. It's going to be at odds with this natural world order. It's going to be at odds. Don't think that there's a strange thing that Christianity in America is starting to lose its luster. That we are not winning the popularity contest. We're just getting more normal again is probably what it is. Yeah, Christianity is not going to be the most popular thing. Brace for it. But yeah, maybe the appearance of difficulty makes some people drop out of the race. Maybe the fact that they just don't have any heart for it. Maybe a sense of self-preservation, you know. There are people that will not stand out for Christ because they don't want to accept the persecution or the ostracization or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But those weren't Ephraim's reasons. Ephraim did not turn back in the day of battle because they were unprepared. Ephraim did not turn back in the battle because they weren't armed. They didn't turn back in the day of battle because they weren't trained. That leaves just a couple of options. I'm looking back and I begin to see verse 10, 11, and 12. There's four characteristics in here, and those aren't the mainstay of my sermon, just to point them out to you as to what was going on in Ephraim's mind. What was going on in their hearts? Number 10, they kept not the covenant of God. They decided not to keep his laws. They just up and decided in their own mind that they are not going to do what God says. Now, how can you possibly have courage in battle when you're not going to do that? Do you realize there's a lot of Christians there today that are the same thing? They read the Word of God, and they just say no. Look what it says there at the second part of that verse in verse 10. They refuse to walk in His law. How in the world can you possibly prosper if in your heart there's this idea that I'm not going to obey and I'm going to absolutely refuse? I've talked to Christians like that, where they read the Word of God and they make a conscious decision to say, no, I'm not gonna do that. Man, I'm telling you, how in the world are you gonna have any kind of confidence in the day of battle? Look what it says there in verse 11. And they forgot His works and the wonders that He showed them. You know, this is a spiritual digression that you really don't want to go down. Because you can get to the place where you forget every good thing that God did. Where your mind and your heart can be so clouded with whatever's going on presently that you just completely forget what God is all about. I'm telling you, you don't want to go down that road. Because then you'll get to verse 22, because they believed not in God. They did not trust in Him for His salvation. This is speaking of Israel. This is speaking of a tribe of Ephraim that at one time was the hand of God, at one time in the will of God, and they were undefeatable, and to get to the place where they actually spake against God. Bad news. So why did they turn back in the day of battle? It's because they lost the will. They had the ability to fight. They had the tools to fight. They had the training to fight. But they didn't have the will to fight. There are a lot of Christians. You got the tools to fight. Go back there and read Ephesians chapter 6. He gives you armor in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. He gives you the resources to fight. He tells us to flee fornication and other things where, man, fornication comes along, other things come along. He tells you, you get up and you run. Get out of there. But when it comes to the devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So run away and cower and find a place to hide. No, he says, whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. So there's this desire, there's this spirit within a Christian that will take a stand, where we can stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason why a lot of Christians are out of the fight right now, sitting home, not doing anything, not telling anybody about the Lord, not getting into God's Word, not meeting with other believers, completely disassociate themselves from all of the battle of the faith, is because they lost their will. There was a story back during the Vietnam War. And the Vietnam War was not a popular war. We really haven't had one that has completely united the country since World War II. Maybe the Gulf War was close, but one of the reasons it was very short-lived and very successful, and so it had a lot of public support. But the Vietnam War had and I'm not going to get into all the politics of the Vietnam War, but there were stories that began coming out in the early 70s. And some of these stories came out of a unit called the 173rd Airborne, and what the reporters that were embedded in those units began seeing is that units would go out in small groups on patrol, and they would actually make contact with the enemy. They would see other enemy patrols, and they would hold back, and they would not fight. And you think, well, you know, maybe there's some reasons why they won't fight. There was one of the big reasons why those soldiers would not fight and why they begin to completely disengage in combat in that war is because they lost faith in the cause. They lost faith in the cause of the Vietnam War because of politics, because of mismanagement, maybe other things. The soldiers themselves looked at the battle and said, it's not worth fighting. And they lost their will. And they disengaged. Do you know what I find? That's exactly the way some Christians are today. You've lost your will and your desire to do anything for God. You've lost your will and your desire, and so you completely disengage. And that's what it's talking about Ephraim. Ephraim turned back. Man, I'm telling you, you turn back because there's something in you, and I've seen it in other Christians, there's something in you that says, you know what, this just isn't worth fighting. But I'd like to try to change your mind today. I'd like to try to convince you that this fight of faith that we fight is very much worth fighting. There are consequences to pulling back in the day of battle. Severe consequences. How about the Christian parent who has been bombarded left and right with all of this new philosophy about how to raise kids and ridiculing the way that God said to raise a child? And so parents just say, man, it's not worth it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to go with the world's ideas. And so you completely disengage and you don't raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Does he say it's not worth it? The results can be devastating. Because the world will take your children. And they will indoctrinate your children. And I'm not saying you take your children out and you put them into some commune somewhere and protect them. That's not going to do any good. But what you've got to do is, parents, is you've got to realize, yeah, you're in a fight for your kids. And you have got to do everything in your power. Does that guarantee that a kid when he's old is not going to walk away from the Lord? No, I'm telling you, kids are human beings. They're going to do what you want. But you got what they want. Yeah. Kids are going to do what you want. That would be a dream. Maybe that's a prophecy. I don't know. If I'm a prophet, we're all good. Oh, but I'm telling you what, it's a fight. It's a fight. Those of you that have raised kids understand that it's a fight. Because everything that's around you is against your children being raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your kids are being indoctrinated into all of this. And I'm not even going to make a list because it's just... I thought it was bad back in the 90s when I was raising my kids. Man, I'm telling you, it's gotten 10 times worse since then. Your kids are being bombarded by everything. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them the things that they need to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Give them tools, raise them, and give them a sanctuary in your home where you can give them those good things. I'm telling you, parents, you fight for your kids. Fight for them. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting for. I know the worst thing about parents is you've got your own desires, your own dreams, your own goals. Well, I'm telling you, if you're a parent and you had kids, you got to put those things on the back burner. You got to fight. That's what the fight of faith is all about. Is structuring your life according to God's rules, according to God's ideas, according to God's values, and not the values of the world. You got to fight against your own desires and against your own loves. 1 John, and I know that modern Christians hate this verse. They despise it. But 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. He said, don't put your love in the world. You know why some Christians have bailed out and they turn back in the day of battle and they find is they've fallen too much in love with the things of this world. Hey, this world's got a lot of cool stuff, doesn't it? I'm telling you. And not all the stuff is necessarily evil either. But there's a lot of things in this world. There are a lot of things that you could live for in this life. You better pick the battles of the Lord. You better realize that there are some consequences to not doing battle. There are some consequences to not living that fight of faith. There are consequences because you bail out on this fight, there are other people can get hurt. You can really seriously damage somebody else. I remember... it took me a while to begin to transition from looking too highly upon other people and trusting in other people and trusting in the Lord. But I remember that I was door knocking in the 80s, and there was a couple of people on television at the time, won't mention any names, but Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. And they both messed up. Jim Baker decided to look at the gold and the silver and all these things, and he became enumerated with power, and he got into this prosperity gospel, and he became rich so much so that he began overselling his hotels and different things like that. I'm telling you something, it's my opinion that the preacher of God should have never been involved in all that kind of stuff. Just preach the word. That's our job. Plain and simple, just preach the word. But he got involved in that. And then there was another one, Jimmy Swaggart, that he was preaching hard against pornography. Not against pornography, against adultery. And he got caught in it himself. And I'm knocking on doors, trying to represent the Lord, trying to get people to trust God for their souls. And you know what I kept hearing over and over again? Hey, what about that Baker guy? What about Jimmy Swaggart? And they kept bringing it up over and over again. I had to try to overcome that. Well, we didn't have any part of him, we really didn't have anything to do with him. Except that was a lame excuse. Because in our own church and in our own body, we've got the same sins. Yeah, you don't think that a Christian turning against and fleeing the battles of God and deciding to go back into the world isn't going to hurt people? I guarantee there's people today that aren't saved because of that damage right there. I'm telling you, there are souls at stake. There are eternal consequences at play here. This isn't just about you and about your little life. Your life affects other people. And the ones who wrote the epistles, the disciples who wrote the epistles, that's why over and over again, man, take these things, give thyself wholly to them, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. They were, take a stand for those things that are good. There's a reason why they use language like that. They use language like that because, yeah, life is a battle, and the life of faith is a battle. And yeah, there are some severe consequences to it. Thing is, are you always going to win? No, sometimes you're not going to make it. You're going to lose. You know, the good thing about God is that He is in your court. How does Micah say it? He says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light." Maybe you've lost a battle. Maybe some of those things that I've talking about, you're guilty of. And maybe you've messed up. But the Bible says there's forgiveness with thee. I'm telling you, there's room to get back up. There's room to get going again. Don't let these things get you down. Don't let all the things that happened in 2020 discourage you and discourage your spirit. You know, the Spirit of God is still alive, and the work of God is still being carried on, and it's time to get in the battle and do something about it. Not time to give up. It's not time to put away your prayer time. It's not time to put away your Bible reading. It's not time to put away church attendance. It's not time to put away witnessing for the Lord. You've got to get, we got to double down and do more. We got to stand against the wiles of the devil. Those soldiers in the 73rd Airborne, highly trained soldiers, put their weapons down and said, "It's not worth fighting." And Christians today are doing the same thing, with everything at their disposal, putting their weapons down and saying, "I'm not fighting anymore." It's time for you to get that will and that desire back. It's time for you to get that desire, that will, that, and what it's going to mean is you're going to have to agree with God. The soldiers down there in Vietnam, they did not agree with their leaders. They didn't agree with their commanders. They didn't agree with the whole process. And so they bailed out. And some of you are the same way. You really don't agree with the way God's moving. And you don't really, you got to change your mind and agree with God. And you've got to get on God's side. And I want to turn it for just a minute, because think about this. The Bible says that if you're on God's side, you can't lose. That's a paraphrase from all kinds of verses in the New Testament. You're on God's side, you can't lose. I'll tell you why, because we've already got the books. Revelation already tells us how it's going to turn out. The devil ever reminds you about your past, remind him of his future. I'm serious. It's already been done. It's been set in stone. The book of Revelation says the devil comes in fury, knowing he hath but a short time. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he defeated all the works of the devil. He won. Jesus Christ did not come to earth to show us a better way to live. He didn't come to earth to show us a better way to love, although he did both of those things. He came to earth to die for the sins of the world. the reason why the world was coming apart right around the cross. I mean, you had demon possessions left and right. You had all kinds of things going on. You had everything in that area was becoming unglued around the cross of Jesus Christ. Because at the cross of Jesus Christ is where he won final victory over the devil. Had the princes of the world known what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But he died as a sacrifice for your sins. You see, because your sins need forgiveness. In order to get forgiveness, it needs a payment. Justice requires that somebody has to die for your sins. And Jesus Christ himself took that upon him. And he died for your sins. He died for every inconceivable wickedness that you could think of. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we won because we're saved. We won because we belong to him. Eternal security, it is a Bible doctrine. Once he saves you, you belong to him. There's a seal of the Spirit on your soul. And one day he's going to come and redeem your body. He's going to take you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. And we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. That's what his promise is to those that trust in him. Maybe you're in this room today and you've got no interest in the things of God. You've got no interest in God. You've got no interest in his ways. You really don't have any real desire to see what he has to say. I'm telling you something. You got to get on God's side, because how in the world are you going to win against God? He got all the power. You know what he demonstrates every single day? That God has the power of life or death. You know something, that our president, his life is not in the hands of Remdesivir or of another drug. It's in the hands of God. Your life is not in your own hands. Do you realize that there's a verse in the Bible that says, who can keep alive his own soul? Are you so arrogant to think that you can possibly stay alive through your own power, your own coming? Man, people die every day unexpectedly. Never thought that they'd die that day. If you're walking in this world without Jesus Christ, I want you to consider something. The one day you're going to die, and then you're going to stand before him. And you're not going to have a covering for your sin. And then you'll have no hope. That's one battle you will not win. You know what my advice is? I implore it be anything I do to convince you of it, is to get on God's side. I know it didn't look like it. It looks like the world is winning. Looks like Christianity is just a pariah, it's just a laughing stock, but God's no laughing stock, and he's gonna have the last word, and you should get on God's side. Yeah, but if I get on God's side, if I give my life over to him, man, I got problems. Man, I had rather take the problems in the faith any day of the week over problems in the world. Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. The message for Christians is, don't lose that will and that desire to fight for the things of God. Amen. And the lesson to those of you that aren't saved, turn to God before it's everlastingly too late. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this word. Lord, give everybody something that they could put in their soul and take with them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this upcoming baptism with Michael, Lord, that you just give him good, long days of service to you. And Lord, I pray for not only him, but for the other new Christians in this room. Lord, strengthen them in the battle. Help them, Lord, in the fights that they face. Help them, Lord, to understand your ways and to learn about the things that you have for them. Lord, give them strength in the battle. I pray for Christians that have been in the faith a long time and have just gotten tired and disillusioned, Lord, that you would revive in them a desire to live for your things and your ways, Lord, that you would fill them with a zeal that no man could quench. Lord, we give this whole service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. This service isn't over until we've had the baptism. If you just walk right out there and wait around the baptism, we'll have a baptism in about 5 minutes and we'll dismiss then.